The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
TNA is on the verge of bankruptcy and sale again. No, you're not listening to an episode from last year. This is the brand new Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and we are live from Cape Gaming Grounds, our home, as usual. And we have a special guest tonight. I'm excited about this. First off, let me say, Allie's here.
Hello.
The five-star man.
Yes.
Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And our special guest, Cape Championship Wrestling champion, somehow still, Brandon Barbwire.
Hashtag long live the champ.
He's already starting with the hashtags. Brandon, I appreciate you coming on the show, especially after what's been happening for the past few weeks and months. Because, real quick history, before we get into it, we got a lot of news to talk about this week. A lot of good stuff that happened, a lot of bad stuff. Like I said, TNA is once again on the verge of being gone. This time, some really surprising buyers.
But for realsies this time.
For real this time. This time, we're not playing. But we met you originally at the Cape Championship Wrestling show. Me and Allie and Tanner went to it, and I had a problem with you because you looked specifically at me and you said, I need you to chant Billy Hill sucks. I don't know if you remember that. I chanted Billy Hill sucks, and then you joined Jeff O'Dell in the Pinnacle and betrayed me and all those other kids in the front row who weren't being very loud.
Now, wait a minute. Again, let me reiterate what I was saying last week. He wasn't wrong for saying to chant that. We just didn't know he was going to team with them later. Like, Billy Hills does suck. Like,
it's true.
In my defense, though, I don't feel like it was a matter of betrayal. I mean, don't get me wrong. Billy Hills, in my opinion, does not suck. I mean, you were there. You saw the match. He did a very good job of grounding me and making it difficult for me to do my job. Now, I did end up beating him, but I can't necessarily say that the man sucks. On the other hand, if I can get you to say he sucks, he's probably going to be distracted. He's probably not going to be on his A game, and all that does is benefit me. So you can't blame me for doing my job.
I wonder if Billy Hills have an A game? Does he know that high up on the letter count?
Alphabet.
Son of a bitch.
The letter B C.
You almost went full Dom.
But you are here, and we're here to talk wrestling. We appreciate you coming in here, and as you said before the show, bearing the hatchet a little bit.
Yeah.
I know that it must be painful for you to come on the show, knowing that we're such good friends with the Hunter Hendricks, your boss, over at Cape Championship Wrestling.
Well, you know, it's not like it's this thing where I have to hate everyone that Hunter Hendricks associates with. If that were the case, I would hate the entire CCW roster. And, you know, I only hate about half of them. So it's not like I have to hate everybody that he associates with. My issue came with the fact that because he's your friend, you have an obvious bias. You're not going to look at the whole situation the way that it should be looked at because he's your buddy.
Well, if I didn't have a bias before, certainly when Jeff O'Dell kicked my friend Sexy Sarge out of the Pinnacle, I certainly had an agenda then. We're going to get into that later. That's if you fans are wanting to hear Brandon Barbwire explain himself, stay tuned because we're going to have that later at the show. But before we get to that, Brandon, the unimportant wrestling news, the stuff that as CCW champion, I imagine you don't care about. And why would you?
Well, I mean, I've been a fan my whole life. So, I mean,
well, I can't really got you beat.
Yeah, I mean, that's not shocking.
All right, Asa, let's start this off. You got WWE 2K.
That was for Dalton.
Yeah.
Oh, goody.
Because as anyone who's listened when we talked about the WWE games, I haven't been excited for one since 2K13. And this is the one that I've been if one comes into the store used and I'm seeing you guys playing it, I might end up picking it up.
I'm saying one's definitely coming to the store because I'm getting the NXT edition.
Well, no, I mean like a used one.
100
like,
bones for that bad boy.
One that I can buy.
Oh, yeah. A bunch of videos came out today.
Well,
for it.
I was actually, that was the me part. So what they did was they did a pre-release for a bunch of, or YouTubers for that dude. Just WWE games.
Yeah.
So like the 101, CM Pulse, Smack Talks, and I'm probably missing like two or three, but they gave them pre-releases and they've been playing it for a couple days now. And they said, hey, you have to wait until this day at this time. The second that day hits and that time hits release, this is what you can release as much of it as you can. So like 80% of it is Nakamura. Of course. Yeah, like everybody, I've seen so much Nakamura stuff, which makes me happy because I will have that character. But it's, I've been following these games for so long, and the way they do like their content reveals is very like, it's bits and pieces.
It's very, very slow and elaborate.
It's almost like, especially with 15 and 16, they didn't want you to know what was or what, more importantly, what isn't in the game.
But they've really pulled the curtain back on this game. They've revealed so much about it, and I didn't want to see all of it because I want to be a little surprised when I get the game. But what I've seen looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, it looks better than any game I played. Brandon, what's the last WWE game you played?
Bring the Pain, SmackDown. You remember that?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one to end off on.
Yeah.
Allie, what was the last WWE game you played?
I don't think I've actually technically played any of them. I've seen you guys play
so 16. Yeah.
That model for AJ Styles
looks
great.
I'm in your game.
You are in the game. I made you. And Dalton has been doing a great job of making lots of CCW wrestlers in 2K16. Because I don't know if you know, but they have this whole feature. You can do face scans. You can actually put real faces and logos on the characters. So if I remember correctly, you made a Brandon Barbar. No, that's right. You made Austin Lane.
Yeah.
The best of the best.
You tool. How could you make him before me?
So, yeah. But in all honesty, like, that's the first thing I want to do whenever I get 17 is just start, like, getting, like, just really start, digging into it and making a CCW. Because you can make a show. Like, I tried making the Homecoming show. Like, I tried making the ring look right and all that. It's just one of those things. I want the better game to come out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so
I
can really waste your time on last year's when the new model's coming out in 2 weeks?
Yeah, so I kind of...
That's a practice run.
Yeah, I did I just did Austin Lane, and then I tried doing Homecoming, but I was like, all right, the second that happens, I'm going to put all those, like, I want to try to get all the logos in it and everything.
But don't let him trick you. He put a lot of work into that Austin Lane. He put the shirt on him. He had the logo and everything.
I don't doubt it. You seem like an Austin Lane, Mark.
I'm actually kind of genuinely surprised you didn't wear the shirt tonight.
Yeah.
Then maybe you could get the catchphrase right. He's a Mark, but he can't get the catchphrase right.
To save his life.
If he makes a shirt that has it on it.
If I can, I would like to point something out that I'm fairly certain. The last podcast that I was able to listen to, there was a slip up on this particular subject. But when you played Austin Lane's interview, Austin Lane screwed it up.
Oh, thank Jesus. No. Oh, we gotta listen for this.
Also,
on his website, it says pillar to post, rope to rope. Sounds like the man's confused.
But yet, I was called out as a jackass. He doesn't even know it. But he's the best of the best. I use quotations there.
He did. That was a great visual
gag for the audio podcast. Well, now it's going to be hard to boo you after telling me that, great Jim.
I still find it will be very easy.
I do. I know. I make it tough sometimes because I'm a man of my convictions and, you know.
Did. You congratulated Austin Lane at Best of the Best and said he was the best of the best. Yes. You said it twice even.
I'm a man of my word. I said I was going to do it and I did it. I don't have to like it. I mean, thinking about it now still nauseates me. But
if you're going to throw up projectile into Dalton,
yes.
Makes the best cleanup.
I can just kind of dive this way.
If I'm going to throw up because of Austin Lane, I'm definitely going to throw it in the direction of an Austin Lane fan.
It sounds fair.
So it makes sense.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Oh, y'all are just going to turn your back on him now, too, the second puke shows up?
Oh, absolutely.
Up?
It's not too late to jump on the barbed wire bandwagon.
You should have heard the things he said about you when you're not here.
I'd probably put him on Facebook. In fairness. And I feel bad. Well, I don't feel bad. In that Q&A when
it's
you messed
no
it
one
up.
Reads those. No one reads what you spit on Facebook.
But yeah, no, whenever you messed up in your Q&A, I was the first one to say you said it backwards. And then on two different shows, I've screwed it up.
And in real life, multiple times.
Yeah. Every time.
I'm surprised you didn't screw it up at the show when he had us chant with him.
I was really afraid.
It was waiting for everyone else to talk.
You have no idea how much I love that you jumped me for screwing it up, and then you just cannot get around.
I thought that's what you were going to go to. Like, whenever you said, I actually have something to say, I was like, oh, he remembers it from the QA that I was
But it's not just you. Like, the guy himself can't say it right, so why am I getting any heat?
Fair enough.
Oh, just the defeat in his voice.
Fair enough. Hey, 2K17 comes out October 11th.
Yep.
You know why that date's important? Because that's the same day that Godzilla, the new one, opens up in theaters.
Is that the one that's based on is that the one you're super excited for?
Yeah,
the
Japanese
one.
The
one that's based on actual events, yeah.
Godzilla, the historical documentary.
Yeah.
I believe they called him Trump originally. Nope. All right, next on the list. Yes, 2K17 comes out the 11th. I'm going to buy it. You can come to Cape Gaming Grounds here at 709
Broadway for all your gaming needs.
You can pre-order, special order.
I train them. That's why I'm the leader. Plus, I'm the biggest. Yes, it's coming out on the 11th. Make sure you can play it. We're going to have it here at the store. It's going to be a lot of fun. D-Von Dudley has been hired as an agent for WWE.
Yes.
At this point, it's official.
Yeah, he confirmed it on Twitter.
Awesome.
So, which is, because there was the rumors going around because he was backstage at like either Clash of Champions or Raw.
Yeah.
That they had offered him because they did the big Dudley Boy send-off on television. So, but he confirmed it on Raw that he's going to be a backstage agent now, which is awesome.
It is awesome. Now, but if I understand correctly, Bubba Ray is still wanting to do wrestling. He's going to try a solo run somewhere.
As he should. And it should be WWE.
It should have been WWE. Really missed the mark with him.
SmackDown is the perfect home for Bully Ray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, their roster is still pretty limited right now. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good news for them. I always like D-Von Dudley. I'm a Dudley Boys fan. You know, I grew up during the Attitude Era and that kind
of
stuff.
That was one of the things I was really disappointed that I couldn't go to that TNA house show that ended up being just a disaster.
I was there.
Because I was like, oh man, I'm going to miss the Dudleys.
I was messaging you the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I thought I'm going to get to see Chris Sabin, TNA champion. Guess what I didn't see?
Chris Sabin.
I meant to, I want to ask because I heard that was a disaster, but I never got details as to why was a disaster.
You want to feel this one?
Yeah, because I was. Did you go? Were you at the whole show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's what happened. That terrible thing happened. I wrote an article about it. That article got picked up by all the major wrestling news publications, by the way.
It really did, because I read about it, like, before I even knew you, I read about it.
Brandon, I don't know if you know this or not, but they call me Mr. 100. And you don't call you Mr. 100 unless you keep it 100 all the time.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. I just wanted you to know that.
But basically, none of the wrestlers had their Missouri licenses like up to date.
Because someone in the TNA offices messed up with the athletic commission.
Bad.
So
new world champion, Chris Sabin, was not at the show.
He was advertised for the show.
Yeah, literally won the belt on TV that Thursday. The show was Saturday, was not there. There was 8 matches and 10 wrestlers.
Yeah, it was a disaster, and I was pretty pissed off about it because I really wanted to see Chris Sabin. I'm a huge Chris Sabin fan.
Because wasn't it Beer Money?
It wasn't Beer Money. It was Gunnar and Storm.
Gunnar and Storm.
So they both wrestled the singles with one of the Dudleys, and they did a joint match. And then it was Rude and Joe, and then Angle and Jeff Hardy.
And then they did a tag match.
It wasn't a bad show. Like, those guys worked their asses off. Mm-hmm. So you can't criticize the wrestlers. It wasn't their fault.
Oh, no, yeah.
And they put on the best show they possibly could. But TNA just, like, you wonder why TNA is going out of business. It's stuff like
why
that.
Why they get that reputation that still follows them.
Every week is doomsday for TNA, and this actually might be the week.
Yeah.
But that's coming a little bit later.
Well, you look at a larger company, and you assume that you're going to get the kind of product that you would get from a larger company. And then you get there, and it's ran like many of the shows I've worked on in Tennessee, where, oh, well, 6 guys showed up, so let's mix and match, guys. Figure it out. We'll go on the fly.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Tennessee, you're on notice. Brandon Bartwright don't like you. Do you still wrestle in Tennessee?
Yes, but not recently.
Okay. Well, you might not go back at that point. Ryback has changed his name legally now.
Well, because we talked about it last week that he was going to apply for the name change, but now he's like...
Was it Ryback Allen Reeves?
Yeah. And so, which is now his actual legal warrior name.
He has to sign that.
Ryback Allen Reeves, RAR. Yeah.
RAR! His name is RAR. The only word he can actually say.
And the only name that Billy Hills can spell. I don't know.
You tried.
I tried and failed, and that's what counts. So Billy posted a thing today. I'm talking about Billy a lot on the show because he posted this thing about the Technodrome,
the Mega Box Technodrome,
and finally some good taste. That's all I'll say.
And it's funny that the redneck can only afford the Mega Blocks, not actual Legos.
I can't afford Legos.
I'm just so disappointed that that's a Mega Bloks thing. Like, it still looks awesome,
but
if that was an actual Lego set, I mean, yeah, it would be $500.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, is the Technodrome available in the Lego set?
No, because and they have a Ninja. They have a run from the TV show and from the movies.
Yeah,
but did you see the picture of the Technodrome?
It looks awesome.
No,
yeah.
It looks amazing. Looks awesome.
I want it so bad. But if you ever see my apartment, it's like a museum. It really is. I have no room for anything.
Because it's all like action figures and displays and collectibles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you like Sailor Moon?
Can't say I've ever invested. I apologize.
Let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that. Ryback sucks. I love Power Rangers.
All right, then we're gonna be fine.
Which version?
I like everything up to Turbo, and then you skip Turbo, and Space was awesome again. And I honestly could go on the subject for quite some time.
We have another show you should get on.
Really quick, we'll get back to wrestling. Have you read any of the new comic book run?
No, but I've heard a lot about it.
It's really good.
That's the last cover that they did. Sweet. Yeah.
I have that dagger on my wall, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's Tommy's.
Yeah, it was the dragon.
The Green Ranger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. So Ryback sucks. And
well, you're not wrong. That sums it.
The shooter stable. Now, I think I know what you're talking about here. This was the one that they were positioning Shelton Benjamin
well,
for, right?
And I put that in question marks because I know we talked about it in the store, but I couldn't remember if we actually talked about it on the show.
No, we have not.
And I don't think we did. So yeah, it was the going rumor was that they were going to do a shooter stable on SmackDown with Shelton Benjamin, Jack Swagger, and Dolph Ziggler. And I want to see that real bad.
Sounds awesome.
But then it also said like, oh, well, it was originally going to go to Chad Gable in NXT, but Vince didn't like the idea, which makes so much sense. Like, oh, Vince didn't like an idea for something. Give it to Ziggler. And that just makes me sad.
It kind of reminds me of when the Radicals jumped from WCW to WWE. Ali, the Radicals, Dalton, you do it. You're the teacher.
Whenever WCW was about to go out of business, they were kind of hinting towards well, a bunch of people were jumping ship because they weren't being paid the way they or they weren't being highlighted the way they were. So you had Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, who you've heard me talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. Chris Benoit and Perry Saturn all jumped ship to WWE at the same time. So basically one day, it was like a Raw. Mm-hmm. You just see four of WCW's top stars sitting in the front row.
Well, top stars
is a
stretch for Perry Saturn.
For an hour or two.
In all fairness though, Perry always had the skills to be one of those top guys. I mean, all four of those guys were
Malenko's,
phenomenal workers.
Malenko's in my top five wrestler of all time.
If, Perry Saturn hadn't just disappeared, I truly believe he would have probably been maybe a Hall of Famer someday.
Well, and I don't know who he
that
pissed
mop,
off.
That moppy thing hurt him.
See, well, and that's like he pissed someone off and got stuck with moppy.
There was like a jobber that like sandbagged him at a Sunday Night Heat, and he just beat the hell out of him.
Threw the guy out of the ring.
And then they were like, and here's Moppy. And unfortunately for him, it was one of the bigger parts of his career.
Say, unfortunately for him, it was like the thing I knew him most for, other than Raven's Flock in WCW.
For the longest time, the Rings of Saturn was my favorite submission.
Oh yeah.
You guys that remember the cross-dressing gimmick? He lost and he had to wear the dress.
Yeah,
that was so over with me. Like, I didn't care. Like, oh man, he's wearing that dress.
He looks fierce.
8-year-old Dalton still thought that was dumb. I was like, why?
8-year-old Dalton was also wearing dresses at the time and was happy he could relate to somebody.
That was 18-year-old Dalton in right there, sir.
The shooter stable is a great idea, especially considering that, like, last week we talked about Shelton Benjamin had successful surgery.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's still going to be out for a minimum of 6 months, but, like,
so plenty of time for this.
I would love
stable
to have him
to,
still come back to SmackDown.
Shelton Benjamin was always one of my favorite wrestlers. Dude was so good in the ring. Just one of the best high flying, athletic suplex machines. I mean, he could do it all. So I really hope he comes back into it. And I think a shooter stable would be good.
Cool.
Something different. Like just a bunch of badasses being badasses. And also Dolph Ziggler.
You had to say
we
it that way.
We will have words later.
Hey, speaking of badasses, Awesome Kong is in the new Glow TV series.
Mm-hmm. Which I know that's not really like actual wrestling news, but I love Awesome Kong. And the more I find out about the Glow series, the more I am definitely going to watch it.
Plus, if this is a hit for Netflix, this could open the door to more wrestling programs being on Netflix. Originally, they had talked about Lucha Underground being on Netflix.
Put it on there. Oh, I'll put it on there right now.
And before the network, they had a lot of the documentaries.
They did. I watched the CM Punk documentary.
Well, but I think that has
there.
More to do with the network, the actual WWE network. Like, well, they don't want to split the market.
That's what I was saying. Like,
before the network came along,
they had a lot of them.
So, yeah, I think this could do well. I mean, there's a lot of wrestling organizations that could use more mainstream attention, you know, because especially if the rumors about TNA are true, Vince McMahon won't have a competitor. And anytime you have no competition, your product suffers.
But does he really have a competitor?
In the same sense that Mike Tyson going against a baby technically has a competitor, but in reality,
it's one of those things where TNA was so bad for so long that they're finally like, it really feels like they're finally getting their feet underneath them again.
They're hitting their stride.
And now like this is happening and it's just like, oh, this is the worst timing.
Well, you guys remember when they were NWA TNA?
Oh yeah.
And they were phenomenal and everything they did was amazing. They had guys who were pulling out from Tennessee and Kid Cash, AJ Styles, and just all these names, some who have gone to do really great things. And that company started from nothing.
Yeah. And that's the sad thing is they went on to do great things because for whatever reason, well, I know exactly the reason, Dixie Carter and Hulk Hogan decided, you're amazing and great and you're who we should build our company on. But wouldn't it be cool if the Nasty Boys came in?
Have you heard of Val Venus? Which I had, by the way.
Christopher Daniels has.
Yeah. So have I. Yeah. Val. He's a wonderful man. He's my best friend. I don't actually know him personally.
Oh, damn it.
I'm sorry.
Like me and Xavier Woods. Close personal friend.
Yeah, well, technically, we say Xavier Woods is a friend of the show because He was here. We did hang out with him, and we did play PS4 with him once. That technically, on the checklist, that makes us friends.
That's true.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. That's more than I've ever played with her video game. So
that is true.
Ricochet, you remember this guy?
Yeah, I remember.
You remember Ricochet?
He's he lives 30 minutes away from my girlfriend. Like, that's where he was originally from.
Which is from,
over near Paducah.
Yeah, Kentucky. Paducah, Kentucky. Yeah. Ricochet was at the homecoming show, which was the CCW homecoming at, AC Brazzi Arena, and, great match with him and Austin Lane, the best of the best from,
from rope to rope and pillar to post, the best of the best.
You flip me off,
Austin Lane.
You could hear the wheels turning in his head there.
Yeah,
the mouse was running really fast that time. Ricochet, who was there and fought that great match with, Austin Lane, he is staying with Lucha Underground.
And yeah, it looks like he's, everything he's been saying looks like he's going to come back for when they do season 4,
yeah,
as well as New Japan.
That's Prince Puma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Prince Puma and Lucha Underground, and then Ricochet and New Japan.
Because that was the big thing. You know, after that CCW show, I had so many people there that was talking to me saying, you know, he's going to WWE now. He's going to sign to NXT, this and that. And we were kind of wondering what was going to happen with that. But staying with Lucha Underground.
Which, I mean, and it's still one of those things where nothing's really confirmed, but it's like this is just from everyone who – everything he's been saying and, everyone who seemed – like Meltzer, everyone who's close to the situation, in quotes, that's the way it looks like it's going.
Well, he was on his phone in the back talking about how he had just gone to sign with WWE.
Oh, really?
So either he went and signed with WWE or
he was working you.
Or he's on the phone just working me the whole time. There's nobody on the end. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm with WWE.
What's that, Mr. President? You love the show? Awesome. Yeah. That's great. Glad to hear it.
The phone by his ear. Asa Gray.
Regardless, though, that guy's got nothing but big things coming
through. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was great. And you know, what's really surprising, and I hope you can admit this. I hope you can admit this. I did not know who Austin Lane was before this match. I assumed Ricochet was going to tear him apart and that it was going to be Ricochet King, Ricochet's here. But they had a great match and Austin really did impress me. He put himself on the map with me. I became a fan after that. I'm assuming you took notice of him after that match too.
I have been aware of Austin for longer than you have.
Definitely.
I was going to say that would not be hard. That doesn't surprise me at all.
That's a lot of it. Like, I mean, I've known about Austin Lane. I know how good he is. I've known how good he is for a long time. That was never really up for debate with me, though, and I've said that more than once. It was never a matter of does Austin Lane register to me. He's always been there. I've always known who he is. He's great. He's the best of the best, Austin Lane.
Say the whole thing.
Right.
I have the note. It's on written on the inside of my hand if you need it. I got you.
From rope to rope and pillar to post, the best of the best, Austin Lane.
Yay!
I said I would say it, and I'll say it. But the fact is, that nickname aside, he is not now, nor will he ever be, better than me.
I think we'll find out. October 29th.
It's almost like something's coming up. Because the homecoming show, because I had to miss the first Cape Championship Wrestling show, and then I missed the one that you guys did for Comic-Con.
I missed that one too.
Homecoming was my first one, and it was actually my first real independent show live to be at. So I heard Ricochet was there, and I kind of the same thing. I just assumed okay, so they signed a big name to come in and just kind of do a neat thing, squash a guy. And
sign some autographs.
Because I would love to just pick your brain and Ken's and Jeff O'Dell's and all of you guys. I'm just so fascinated by how the independent scene works. But so I just assumed okay, they come in for their paycheck to just kind of do a little throwaway match, do the thing, send the crowd home
happy. Feed this guy to him.
Cause how WWE shows work, it always ends with that kind of the big high spot to send everyone home happy.
Yeah.
And then we were just absolutely blown away by the match that they put on. We even mentioned they know they're in Cape Girardeau. There's no mats on the outside. What is happening?
You know, I think that a lot depends on the individual. Mm-hmm. You can have somebody with a big name come in and just not want to do anything, not want to work with really anybody. He's there. And from the moment that he shows up, he's done his job. He could care less about the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's getting paid. And then you have other guys who are interested in putting in the work and helping somebody maybe get better or learn or progress moving forward in the business. But really, honestly, I think it's just dependent on the individual. I've seen it from both sides. Ricochet, on the other hand, I don't know what he would have normally done. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, he was working like an hour and, 20 minutes away from
his
hometown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bunch of Instagram posts where he had his family there.
There were people that he knew from his home who had come to the show to see him. So, of course, the man is going to show out.
Right.
And he happened to have a good opponent to do it with. Mm-hmm. I frankly believe he would have had a good opponent to do it with me, too, in the main event. But
I would have loved to have seen that match because we're going to talk about your match that you had with Austin here a little bit later. And that was a brutal, hellacious match. We actually had, we'll feed you Baby Bird. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Ricochet staying with Lucha Underground. So if you look forward to seeing him in WWE
allegedly,
soon,
like maybe,
who knows at this point? I don't know what's happening in wrestling anymore.
He's like the one guy that's going to do whatever the hell he wants. Like, anything.
Yeah. And he can. And
which is
right
great.
Now he can.
Like,
Ricochet is on fire.
It's like selfishly, it's like, man, I would love to see him in NXT. Like Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, any of the Samoa Joe, like there's so many matches, but there's also the same thing. Like, but do you want him to go there and be kind of, cause you see what happens with WWE. That's just me.
With some guys, I think I didn't know how much talent there was on the independent circuit. I didn't know until Cape Championship Wrestling how much talent there was. And then I see guys like you, and I fully admit when I give the devil his due, when I see guys like you, Billy Hills, Brandon Espinoza, Ace Hawkins at the last show was incredible. I see these guys and I could see every single one of them on NXT in WWE. Now I want to see you guys there.
That was one of the things that I even said to him. I was like, man, I can't wait to be disappointed with how WWE handles like just
Billy
most
Hills.
Of these guys. Like, oh.
Speaking of disappointment, did you watch SummerSlam?
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've tried to avoid getting really watching the pay-per-views anymore, it seems like. I mean, WrestleMania. I stay up with WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear about the Lesnar and Orton debacle?
Of course.
Yeah. We talked about that to ad nauseum here on the show. And it looks like they had a rematch at a house show. Which
they already had. They had already announced that was going to happen anyway. But
I'm happy that they had the match. But I wondered how it would go, and
if you're did you look it up or?
Well, I heard Orton lost again.
Oh,
that's all I heard.
Yeah, clean F5, 6 minutes.
Ridiculous.
Also, for once, not the main event.
But here's the thing: like, to what purpose?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, why put that on a house show?
Like
what's the point?
Lesnar has limited dates. Why did you waste it for a Chicago house show?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's I don't know. It wasn't.
That was
like,
my first thought. I was like, why is Lesnar working a house show?
Because the Lesnar.
Are you a Lesnar fan?
I'm not a Lesnar fan. I have huge respect for what he's done. I mean, let's look at this objectively here. He came to the WWE, and he grabbed every title and did everything in the span of what, a year?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he dominated the roster. Then he went to UFC and pretty much did the same thing.
Yeah.
And now he's back here. I respect the kind of man that he is. I don't know that hardly any. I mean, he's almost more than human.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. What
yeah, he's
he
going to need
do.
To donate his body to science, assuming he dies.
And a lot of guys that watch wrestling here with us, like Jesse. I don't know if you saw Jesse at the show, but he's not a huge wrestling fan, but he watches Lesnar. If a match with Lesnar is happening, he's watching it. And that's that kind of draw that Brock Lesnar has that even the casual fans go, I know that guy.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous dude.
He
bleeds people.
We always watch the shows, like the pay-per-views. We just kind of get a group together and watch them here on the network and hang. And it's more of an excuse to just kind of hang out with friends. And so Jesse's usually here for that. But every time we do it, he always asks, is Lesnar fighting tonight?
Yeah.
And now Kevin Owens is the other guy though. Kevin Owens has a match?
Dude, I love Kevin though. Like Kevin Owens is awesome. I was ecstatic that they're actually doing something with him.
I am too. And real brief history. The reason that I kind of gave up on WWE was when we went up to the St. Louis Battleground pay-per-view and he had his match with Cena and he lost it. And I was just like, I was so convinced that like that is a win that is going to be the foundation of his career. Like he's going to like, that's the thing that's really going to make him an established person.
Right.
And I was just like legitimately like upset and heartbroken.
You know,
because to me it was just it was that trend that even after that United States Championship run, like it's just kind of that there's still that just Cena beats the new guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but go back to his debut, you know, like how many guys show up and lay out John Cena?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like he He didn't show up and immediately start getting crapped on.
Oh no, yeah, and well, like, that was the thing, is it's like, oh, he comes in so hot, and for me, it's just like seeing how certain people, like especially when they're competitive with Cena, like Damian Sandow, and it's like, he lost though, yeah. So let's see. Which I'm ecstatic to say that I was wrong, and that now
so
you know,
far
it's yeah. So yeah.
Now I want to get your opinion on this, Brandon, because as much as we love wrestling, and we do, you know, Allie is new to the game. We introduced her to wrestling. Well, actually, somebody else introduced wrestling 2 years ago or so. But the rest of us, long time wrestling fans. But we're fans. You actually wrestle. You are a wrestler. How do you feel about John Cena? As a wrestler.
You know, okay, so I've gone back and forth with John. Like, I can appreciate what he can do on a microphone. I mean, he has a passion that not a lot of guys really have anymore. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, you ever, like, listen to somebody on the microphone and you're like, that dude's reading. Like,
yeah.
What is he reading?
Yeah.
Is he getting it right? Because it sounds shitty.
So scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John, I don't feel like he's reading. Even if he is reading, I don't feel like he's reading. Like, I'm buying what he's saying for the most part, even if it's kind of hokey. Mm. His in-ring work for a long time, I felt like there were things that I was trained when you bump. There's a certain way that you need to do that. There's a certain way that you need to get up. And I used to watch him cheat out of it all the time. Roll to his ass and roll up to his shoulder. I'm like, nice bump, champ. You know what I mean? And that used to annoy me because I used to get my ass chewed for that kind of stuff constantly. And then I would get annoyed too because when I broke in, I couldn't afford wrestling boots.
Yeah.
But I wasn't allowed to do anything until I got them. Meanwhile, WWE heavyweight champion John Cena is wearing freaking Snickers. Sneakers, Snickers on his feet. He likes chocolate and caramel around his toes.
I would. Who doesn't?
And I'm broken.
See, that's like I said. You can always find something you can relate to people with. I also like chocolate around my feet.
But no, so I mean, Curb. I don't hate John Cena, but I feel like I should. I expected more from him from a professional standpoint, based on what I was trained up at. But then again. How many 5-star matches has the guy had?
You know, lots. What I mean? Lots. Okay. Well, I thought Meltzer just won, but
we can't.
Well, I mean, yeah, but how many times has he wrestled in the Tokyo Dome?
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's had so many 5-star matches with so many guys, and I get tired of hearing people like, oh, well, they were carrying him.
Yeah.
Everybody was able to carry
right.
this man who is so terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
it's just, he gets so lucky with working with these people that are just,
he's the luckiest dude in the world.
And that's kind of like, you know, I think a lot of us were really sour on him until he did that US title open challenge and he was just putting on just
with new guys,
great matches with
too.
Everybody. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, we all have a respect for Cena
so
as well.
Clearly he has a level of skill there that was being overlooked and underappreciated.
Agreed.
What Culture actually had a like 10 most underrated wrestlers, and he was number 3.
And I agree with that completely. Yeah. I've always been a Cena fan, and because not only is he a hard worker, he is a hard worker, mm-hmm. he's superhuman, comes back of injuries half the time a normal person would, and the amount he's done for charity, I mean, the dude, I think he deserves his place.
No, yeah.
You know, he doesn't deserve the John Cena sucks chance when he walks out.
Right.
You know,
if he's going to wear those sneakers and stuff, though, he needs to get the chain back and start rapping again.
That was my John Cena. I don't know about your punk-ass John Cena, but that was my John Cena.
The defining moments John Cena is the chain gang one, and I'm really excited for that to come out to stores, because I will buy that.
I have the rap album. I bought it.
Oh, yeah.
Word life, brother. Word life.
It's basic thugonomics. So, yeah, Lesnar and Orton, going back to that point, they had a house show. They threw it away. What could have been a great return match? Maybe Orton could have actually fought,
gotten his steam.
I mean,
back.
if he got cleared yet,
it's terrible. Talked about it too much. The Dusty Classic, they're bringing that back.
Yeah, yep. It started tonight, like officially.
No, or, it starts soon.
The announcement, like announced that it was going to happen, but tonight on NXT they did the they actually formed the first team.
Who was it?
The Glorious Ten. So it's Bobby Roode and Ty Dillinger.
Interesting.
Also, CN and Alexander. So, you know, that team's going to get bumped in the first round, which breaks my heart.
I know.
But they announced that the finals are going to be at NXT Toronto, which is Survivor Series weekend in November.
November 19th.
Yep.
Yeah. And the bad thing about, I love that they always put these NXT shows before the big shows because they're always better. And they always ruin the big shows for us. Like, we'll watch the NXT because a lot of us, something happened to us, and it was before Cape Championship Wrestling, where, at least me, I shifted from enjoying the big spectacle shows less and enjoying the more intimate, more interesting, the better flows, the actual wrestling. You enjoy that right. more than these big spectacle shows. So whenever I see an NXT show, I'm more excited about that than I am for SummerSlam. And I love Survivor Series. That was always my favorite as a kid. Like the 4-on-4 tag matches, my favorite thing. Why haven't we seen a tag match in Cape Championship Wrestling yet?
I really don't know.
That's a question. We're going to get Hunter on that.
Yeah. Close personal friend. Local celebrity.
Sorry, Brandon.
Oh, it's been so long. It's been so long since I've heard that local celebrity.
I really have no idea why we haven't had a tag match there yet. I mean,
I thought the last show was going to pop into it, especially when Jason Vaughn and was it Jason and Sarge?
And then Blaster
and Blaster and Billy Hills. Blaster. Your new guy. Jeff O'Dell's new guy.
I have nothing to do with that. I have a damn thing to do with that.
He just works there.
Yeah, Jeff does business his way, and that's that.
Did he enjoy the card we got him?
Yeah, he did. Actually, he posted something on Facebook.
He did.
Yeah, he posted the picture.
I think he called us monkeys.
I was so excited.
Yeah. He calls everybody monkey. don't be offended by that.
Of Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 32 documentary. They're making one.
They've been working on one, but then I don't know if it got shelved or what happened, but it kind of vanished off the radar. But he just recently tweeted a little clip of it, like as proof that it exists. He also had the hashtag release the bears.
I don't know how I feel about anybody else doing hashtags.
Well, it's called Instagram, bud.
Hashtag long live.
I mentioned to you that I invented that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. The hashtags?
The hashtag Instagrams, that's my thing.
All right.
All of it.
All right.
Open your ears, Dalton. The champion is here.
Pay attention.
It's, for my sake. It almost sounds like Charlie Brown's parents. Like, a little bit.
Well, at least Charlie Brown has parents.
God. Oh, dear God. Why did you lead him there?
So what's up? What's next on the list?
Yeah, what do we got next?
Wait. Who doesn't have parents?
That one.
Okay, all right. So if you're burning on yourself, it's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, he thought it was me.
I'm like, dude, don't burn on orphans. What's wrong with you?
No, it's. I would never make fun of something like that unless it was just. That's how I cope with the misery and pain. Thanks, Dalton.
good for bringing it up.
TJ Perkins decided. Apparently, he decided his music entrance and everything. Are you a video game fan? Are you a game player, Munch?
No, not really. But I have an appreciation for it in general. I like characterization. Mm-hmm. I like story development. So
the core aspects of gaming. Did you see TJ Perkins' entrance?
I saw something about that on my news feed.
Probably something I posted, actually. So it's old school, like, arcade fighter thing. It's character select, and then his health bar comes up like an old Capcom game. Mm-hmm. It's so good. And apparently TJ Perkins, that was his choice.
Someone asked him, like, oh, is that something they gave you, or is that something you worked for? And he said he went to, like, every department and was like, this is what I would like. Like, and he worked with the CFOs, the graphic designers, which I just thought was really cool.
Also, he is in a little hot water because of his comments. They've been portraying him as he was homeless once, that he's living his dream now. And apparently a lot of independent wrestlers are upset with him, saying, well, a lot of us were homeless. Why does that make you special?
Well, I mean, that was the basis of the Brian Kendrick. Like, he's like, yeah, everybody was homeless.
Yeah.
Like, he even said that on the pay-per-view. So,
yeah, but you know, I mean, that's true. I've lived in my car more than once, but that's not. These guys are just kind of. I feel like they're whining about something that they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
hating on him.
Well, now he's got the success, and it's not everybody. I mean, there are a lot of guys that understand. You know, if you can find a way to make something work for you, make it work for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you can draw from the sympathies of a crowd based on the fact that you really went through the hard times to get where you are, that's a good story. Use it. Yeah. Why the hell not?
And that really seems like what they're doing with him is they're constantly calling it the Cinderella story. Like, because even in the cruiserweight division, which is the 205 and under, like, he's still a smaller guy. Like, he wrestled Tony Nese on Raw.
Guy for Cape Championship Wrestling by the Tony Nese.
I don't think he's available anymore.
He was on Monday Night Raw.
But so was James Ellsworth. But so he's like, they're really kind of pushing him as like the super underdog, like, you know, scrappy champion. Yeah.
Scrappy dude.
Which I mean, like, I mean, that kind of character absolutely has its place. So I can, but yeah, I don't know.
But it's really hard to sell that character with the video game theme. And
he's, I disagree.
Like, he's the dancing guy too. It's just like,
he dabs
it's because it's too, but that's fun. That's like, you know, it's whenever someone is fun, it's hard to see them as like a serious competitor. And I don't like, I'm not saying that like that's how I perceive it, but that's from how they've presented everyone who, oh, he's just out there to have fun. Metal. Is never someone, stop it. No JBL. Anytime, you know, oh, he's just out here to have a good time. Like he's dancing with the crowd, like stuff like that. That's always someone who is kind of mid card fodder.
Kofi Kingston, Rich Swann.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, they really like to, which I think I don't like it, but that's how they've always portrayed that kind of personality.
Yeah. This guy's, I mean, he's champion already. He's over.
Yeah.
Except, okay, so we don't have a lot of time to talk about a lot of this stuff, but I do want to mention real quick, and I want to ask your opinion on this too. At Raw, when TJ Perkins was fighting Tony Nese for the Cruiserweight Championship, and I didn't get to see it, but I heard it was a great match.
It was.
It really was. Good.
During that match, the fans chanted both CM Punk and apparently Harambe.
Did not hear that one.
Yeah. Huh. So if you thought the CM Punk chants were disrespectful, the Harambe chants will just piss you off.
Yes, they did. mission accomplished.
We've always said the worst part about wrestling sometimes are the wrestling fans. As a wrestler, have you experienced that? Have you been in the ring and people chant the dumbest things? And what are your thoughts on that?
I try to, as long as someone's having a good time, they paid their ticket. And I'm doing my job. For the most part, I'm fine. If they want to hate me, then they can hate me. But sometimes you get really obnoxious people. People that are, and honestly, to be straightforward, it's really not things directed to me. Someone can call me or say to me pretty much anything they want. I'm going to be fine with it. I roll right off my back. But I've been watching some of the ladies working.
Oh,
and listening
to
the most obnoxious, disgusting things coming from the crowd. Yeah. And I'm like, there are some kids here, and they're allowed to say this as loud as they are, but let me drop the F word on that microphone and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we can objectify these ladies all day long, but let me drop the F bomb and people will lose their friggin' minds.
Yeah.
We were at the homecoming show.
When
Little Bit was fighting Diamond Doll, and the referee, I think he was checking
the boots.
The boots, and the idiot behind us, you know, yelled cop a feel and stuff like that, and it's just like, that's so disrespectful.
Who did you then yell that to later on in the card?
I think it was
during the ESPY match.
Yeah, because then he checks ESPYs and then he's just like, cop a feel. The funniest
fair
thing.
Fair play.
See, but that's in good. That's all in good fun, though. That's
it is.
Good taste.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't very many guys that are like, oh my God, he suggested that I be molested. You know what I mean? Like, most of us are cool with it.
Especially ESPY. I truly believe he could knock me out. Like, that dude just seems tough. I hope he's listening.
And that's the biggest problem I have with NXT is because they stay at that Full Sail arena. And so it always, if something isn't going that they're not enjoying or like, they would rather distract themselves.
Entertain themselves.
Than actually like give the people in the ring a chance.
And that's what drives us all crazy.
And like, so that's one of the things like, cause I don't know if like Hunter's mentioned it to you at all, but like, we're always so self-conscious. When we leave those shows, if you notice, like, we always try to keep it directed to the people in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, we had someone come up to us and be like, so when Billy comes out, we're going to start a CM Punk chant.
No.
And we were just like, no, we're not going
to
do that.
We'll come up with ways to insinuate that Billy and Sarah are related and married, but we won't go that low.
It's one of those things where it's like, so we always try to keep it relevant to the show. As opposed to like, you know, at WrestleMania when they start chanting JBL or We Are Awesome or like, it's just like, it's stuff like that that it always just gets under my skin when fans do it. So
and I'd hate to see that start at Cape Championship Wrestling. I don't want to see like, Billy Hills, like, at the next show. I don't want to see, Billy Hills and Jason Vaughn go at it and then some idiot in the crowd start chanting Harambe. Then I might hit that guy.
I don't know if it's something that you can just avoid because, I mean, if you pack 300 plus people in a building,
you're going to get one.
Yeah. You're going to get one. And if one phrase catches spark,
mm-hmm.
right.
There's really nothing you can do about it. It's a chain reaction. You know what I mean?
The what chants are the worst thing that's ever happened to wrestling. And I'm counting like
nope,
the great
nope.
Kali.
Okay.
Where do you think I was going for that?
I don't know.
Yeah,
about
no,
it.
No, no, no. You're going to get great Kali.
All right. We were going to talk about Clash of Champions. We don't have time to talk about everything.
Great. I mean, spoiler alert. Great matches. Questionable endings.
Yes. I really had no problem with it. Seth Rollins possibly injured coming out of that match, though. That took sucks. A real nasty knee
top
breaker.
Gut buster,
yeah. So we'll keep an eye on
which
that.
Which he did have, like, because it was on WWE.com. Like, there is some damage to his ribs, but nothing was broken. So.
Good.
I think they might just keep him to, like, a limited.
And to the fans out there who are listening to this show, that if you did make a joke about, well, he hurt so many people, it's only just that he gets hurt now. I'm giving you middle fingers. You can't see it.
I bet Bret Hart is sitting smug at his house.
Well, just half
like,
his face.
Well, and they did talk about that on Raw. Like, they brought it up on Raw. Owens and Jericho did.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Which...
Just go over what I said, please.
really the best thing you could do, though, is shine a light on it yourself before everybody else does.
Also, the only other match that I really questioned the booking on was, one, the Gallows-Anderson match with the New Day. Perfect opportunity for the New Day to finally drop the titles and do something new and creative. They instead chose to go with New Day again. Whatevs. That's fine. I love New Day. But and also, the fact that they're still going to push toward Dana Brooke versus Charlotte for the women's title instead of Sasha Banks or Bayley. Huge mistake. Yeah. Huge mistake.
Bayley and Sasha are both... Like, those could be cornerstones of a women's division.
They're going to do like they did with Kevin Owens.
Charlotte is doing, like, I know we're kind of tired of Charlotte just because it kind of feels like it's the same thing repeated.
But she's still doing a pretty good job.
Oh, she's doing really good. So, I mean, she absolutely could be too, and she's doing, like, her run is going to go down as one of the great women's title runs.
Yeah, she's 12-0 at pay-per-views in title matches, which is insane.
And did anybody expect anything else from the daughter of the Nature Boy Ric Flair?
No. Well, when you her first NXT appearances,
yes, those were rough.
The amount that she's improved is
That's the thing, though. I give credit to how well she can work now because to be perfectly honest, she could be in the same position she's in now. And never have learned a damn thing.
100%.
Wrestling history is
and
is
proven that.
And she's only like that. Really been around for 2 years, honestly. Like, in NXT.
But she's got a great pedigree.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Really?
Ric Flair's her dad.
Ric Flair.
That was the joke, yeah.
Oh, I get it. You're not funny.
That's brutal.
Savage AF.
Thank you. I will say the one that you didn't mention was Jericho Zane. Cause like I was really looking for like, and I still kind of am like a prolonged Jericho Zane feud because I love Jericho's my all time favorite, and then I love Sami Zayn, but because especially if they were kind of going to do like a mirrored version of his feud with Shawn Michaels,
yeah.
So you have like because Zayn mentioned multiple times like I grew up watching you. You were one of the guys that got me to do this. So to kind of see him like, oh, my hero let me down, and then them just go at it like, but I really so Jericho won, but he won clean. So it's just like, that's a really good chance to just have him cheat just to get that one over on him.
Yeah.
To keep that going.
Yeah, I hate Sami Zayn. He ripped off a guy that I know.
Really?
El Generico.
yeah, but I mean, in all fairness.
He got you. You were hooked, line, and sinker.
He did.
Didn't get me.
Kevin Owens.
Same guy.
I still love Owen just being like, what happened to El Generico? He died.
So I was like, are you still in touch with El Generico? No, he died. Just so deadpan. It's like,
all the big wrestling podcasts, whenever he got signed to WWE, everyone's like, yeah, no, he moved back to Tijuana. Like, he's in an orphanage.
He ran into problems with the cartel.
Yeah, and that's what happened.
And that's canon.
If you get a chance, go back and watch Clash. I'll say that. It was a good show. Raw, go back and watch Kofi Kingston get his face busted open.
9 stitches.
Nasty.
Yeah,
and I know WWE does not like to show blood.
Yeah,
so that had to be bad.
I was really surprised.
Do you remember me like watching it and being like, "Oh man, Gals is bleeding."
Oh, Anderson.
So is Anderson.
No, I remember the one guy standing behind us the entire time who we didn't know commenting on it entirely, saying, "Oh, is he? Oh, he's busted open. Oh, he's busted open too. He's busted open too." And I just wanted to yell, "Who are you? Stop standing behind us!"
But yeah, I was playing that game too. I was like, "Is it Gallows? Is it Anderson?" And then you just see Kofi's head, and it's just a hole.
Yeah, it's bad.
And it took 9 stitches to close.
Mm. Nasty.
I will say, too, something that they did on Raw that I really liked was that they acknowledged the fact that the Cesaro-Sheamus match from Clash of Champions kind of stole the show, which is if they're not the ones that were supposed to steal the show, they usually don't – they won't acknowledge that at all. But they went out of their way to kind of point it out, and so the resolution of them – the match being a no contest for their match 7 of the best of 7, now they get a chance at the tag team championships.
Which is interesting. Not where I thought that was going to go.
No.
So that's a pretty cool story.
So my prediction, though, is it's going to be New Day, Sheamus, Cesaro, and Gallows Anderson at Hell in a Cell.
Speaking of Cesaro, was anybody else shocked at where things have wound up for that guy? Because when he first was coming in, and you have this, he's a big dude,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's got the physique, and we all know how much the company loves that.
Vinnie Mac mm-hmm. loves the muscles. Yeah.
He can work.
Yes.
He can work his ass off. He hasn't had that heavyweight title yet.
Because he's foreign.
That's what it is, but that whole, when Stone Cold asked him, like Stone Cold Steve Austin asks Vince McMahon, like, what is wrong with you? You are missing a golden opportunity with this guy. Oh, he's just not connecting with the fans. Which either you are completely tone deaf, or there's some, like, he accidentally, like, spilled something on your shoes once.
Maybe he doesn't actually watch the product.
That's what it has to be. Like,
I truly believe that. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that, going back to the whole, like, why I just kind of, WWE kind of broke my heart for a while. It's just like, man, there's, whenever I, who am relatively, like, unknowledgeable to some of these things, like, I can see, like, no, this is a guy, like, Cody Rhodes was the other one. Like, when they released Cody and he released that Twitter statement, it was just like,
one thing that Cody was asked to do that he didn't not only do, but knock out of the friggin' park.
Yeah.
Stay with the company of Stardust?
Even one. I mean, but that's the thing, like, he did for a while.
Yeah, and
he
was good.
He pulled it off.
I hated Stardust when I saw him, but he made it work.
And him talking about it, like, especially after his dad passed away, and just like, you know, they call the NXT guys Dusty's kids. The last thing you want to do is dress like a space clown. Just like, oh, no.
Feelings. And it's not just Cody Rhodes or Cesaro. Of the League of Nations. Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, Rusev, Wade Barrett. Four of those guys, four foreigners who are big and strong and can work.
And you put it perfectly. In the 80s, every single one of those guys would have been
all stars. Yeah. But they just don't have the vision, it feels like. Like, this man is out of touch with reality or whatever. I don't know. I wish we're fans. We're fans that do a podcast. I wish I could be on the inside of those conference calls and those boardrooms when they're deciding, okay, who are we going to put our money behind?
Right.
Because I want to know what the reasoning is behind some of these guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. That's why they're rich and I'm not. Probably.
Millionaire that should be a billionaire.
Bound for Glory. What is Bound for Glory?
He's a billionaire again.
Is he?
After the network, I wouldn't doubt it.
Good for him.
That wouldn't surprise me.
When is Bound for Glory?
Bound for Glory is this Sunday.
It's this Sunday.
Yeah, so the go-home show is tomorrow night on Pop TV.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over the card. I'm just going to go over the card. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about the sale. And then we're going to move on to CCW. So the card for this Sunday for Bound for Glory.
Well, there is something that happened on SmackDown that we have to at least acknowledge. Miz had another in-ring promo.
I didn't see it.
Miz had another his homecoming since they were in Ohio. Dolph Ziggler interrupted. Made the match that Miz's Intercontinental Championship versus Dolph Ziggler's career at No Mercy. So
Brandon's shaking his head right now.
And that's what I put in the group chat was, no matter who wins, we lose, because the Miz's never ending day 178 of the never ending Intercontinental Championship World Tour, I don't want that to end.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't.
It's the most relevant he's been since he lost the heavyweight title at WrestleMania.
Absolutely. Yep. And The Miz is a guy who I look at just like, I don't know who you sold your soul to, like what kind of the entity that, but he's just so good.
He's married to Maurice.
I know.
That's all I want to say. I'm sorry.
But so it's, and then I also like, I love Dolph Ziggler. I know you've kind of just like, it's the Cesaro thing where it's just like, man, this is someone that like, there's no reason you shouldn't be.
Yeah, Hunter and
much
I talked about
deal.
This on the show, cause Hunter used to do pro wrestling Unscripted with us. And, it's not that I dislike Ziggler. Mm-hmm. It's just that I can't see this character get, you know, this guy get buried so many times before I finally go, I stop caring.
And it's where you're popping up with like Bray Wyatt now.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt's the same boat of like, this guy's so good. He's so talented. And I don't understand why they can't like, give him the keys to the city.
Limitless potential with the Wyatts, the Wyatt family. Ziggler is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean.
And it's one of those things like, I don't think the Intercontinental Championship's really going to another run with it because he's had multiple. Like, I don't think that's the kick in the pants that is going to help him. But I also like, on the one hand, like, yeah, I'm sure he could do great. Like, if he went to Japan, anywhere he goes, he's going to do great. Kind of like Cody Rhodes did, but at the same time, like selfishly, it's like, I don't
want to see him here.
Yeah. It's like, cause it's so much easier for me to just be able to watch you every week. Like
when
here
was the last time that someone's career was on the line and they actually got fired after
Batista?
Losing a match.
Batista, Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
Even though he
Chris Jericho
wrestle.
Did whenever he left. I mean, it happens.
Because I've seen it many times since I've started watching and they've never gotten
fired. Well, see, here's the
fired.
Thing. When something like this happens, it means one of two things. It means either that they obviously are going to have Ziggler win because they're going to put the title on. This is going to be the feel good ending that mm-hmm. he deserves. Or either his contract's coming up. Or they're worried he's not going to resign or something, so they can take him off TV, and that way he doesn't just disappear one day. There was an incident, and this isn't really related. Dalton, you look sad over there. Let's give you something to talk about. tell Allie about the time Rick Rude appeared on both Raw and Nitro the same night.
This was right after the screw job, wasn't it?
I don't remember how far after it was.
I want to say it was pretty close after it because Rude said he was done. So Monday Night Raw was not always live. It was taped a week ahead of time, or the week before.
Yeah.
And, Rick Rude was a manager for DX, Shawn Michaels, Triple H. And so they tape it, he's there. Then the Montreal Screwjob happens. We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Rude was like, I'm done. Calls, somebody at WCW and they.
Probably Kurt Hennig, I think.
Yeah, it was Hennig. Yeah. Thank you, because they went to high school together. He calls Hennig. He's like, yeah, come on over. So you have Monday Night Raw, which is taped, which is airing. And then literally he's in DX. The next segment on WCW, he's in the NWO.
So he's literally in two places at once. So they try to avoid things like that. So pulling Ziggler off TV before his contract could expire could stop him from appearing somewhere else.
Because it's a really shitty thing that they like to do mm-hmm. of, oh, well, if you're not going to resign with us, you're going to lose a whole lot on TV because that then drops your value. So whenever they go to get some sort of independent bookings, it's like, oh, well, why would we hire the guy from WWE who hasn't won a match in like 6 months?
Yeah.
So,
but like the non-compete clauses and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like, I'm really getting into like WCPW because it's not a televised show. It's all YouTube. So Del Rio leaves WWE next week. He's on WCPW. He's getting automatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exposure without breaking any kind of clause because it's not on TV.
And that's one of the great things about wrestling is when you have places to go.
Yeah.
When you have more than just the WWE to shoot for.
As a viable.
Yeah. Which, by the way, TNA might not be that anymore.
Right.
Full circle, going back to that. So I'm going to go over that card now, mm-hmm. if I can.
Go for it.
Thank you. Allie, do you want to read it?
I mean, we could spend the next little bit talking about American Alpha's new gear.
No,
it's made, I really want to.
It's made from the same material as the new XL.
The 3DS. New 3DS.
Yeah.
All right. So Lashley versus EC3 for the TNA title. DJZ, is that Zema Ion?
Yep.
They haven't announced his opponent yet.
For the X Division?
Yeah. But it's probably going to be Shane Helms or Gregory Helms.
Love Shane Helms. Gregory Helms. Mm-hmm. Was always one of my favorite guys.
Hurricane was great.
Hurricane was amazing.
That feud with The Rock.
But The Rock, he never beat The Rock. He beat the Scorpion King. Decay versus Broken Hardys for the tag titles in a Fall County War match. That's going to be good.
Yep.
The Hardys have done such a good job of making themselves relevant again.
Obviously. One of the Hardys.
Matt Hardy has. you got to
give Jeff Hardy credit because as brilliant as the Broken Matt Hardy thing is, the way that Jeff has then embraced the obsolete mule. Brother Nero.
Yeah.
He's doing great. Those guys are hot.
Those guys are hot right now. Aaron Rex. Versus Drew Galloway.
And that's going to be for the inaugural Grand Championship.
Or they should call it the, hey, screw you, Vince, see, we'll do okay without you title. Maria versus Gail Kim could also go for that title. Moose versus Mike Bennett. Tyrus versus, oh, God.
So, okay, well, that's why I was going to read it off.
10-man gold gauntlet.
Yeah, the 10-man golden gauntlet. So whoever wins this, there's two unannounced entrance. Whoever wins it gets a title match of their choice.
And there's a bunch of people in it. I'm not going to read all the names. Yeah. There's a bunch of people in it. Gail Kim is being inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. She better get her certificate now, is all I'm saying. And then Cody Rhodes debuts.
Yes. Which I'm assuming he is going to debut in that Golden Gauntlet.
Yeah. And win it.
Yeah.
More than likely. Now, the big story before we get to our experiences of this past weekend at that wonderful CCW show, TNA. Is again on the chopping block. We hinted at this at the beginning of the show. Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins. Allie, the Smashing
That's
Pumpkins.
One of my favorite things to do. Like
that Billy Corgan.
So a guy I used to work with named Chad came into the store earlier and he was like, and we had NXT on. He's like, oh, I used to watch wrestling. Last thing I really watched was TNA and it was bad. And I was like, oh no, yeah, they're kind of doing better. They're actually, they're looking at a new buyer, Billy Corgan. Yes, that Billy Corgan.
From the Smashing Pumpkins, yes. He had that one song everyone liked. He was on the Watchmen soundtrack. It was good. Anyway, so TNA is they're out of money, apparently. Out of money.
Which they have been for a while.
But it's so bad now, the reports say they may not have enough money to pay for TV this week, and they may not be able to pay for Bound for Glory. So Bound for Glory may not happen.
Which, well, Billy Corgan did an interview this morning or yesterday morning saying that he will be there Sunday. Bound for Glory will be Sunday. He's already said, like, that's happening. The problem comes where, like, there's some sort of deadline that's apparently Friday that Billy Corgan has the capital to buy the company. The problem comes from inheriting all of TNA's debt.
Yeah, because they're millions in debt.
Because it's a substantial amount.
Yeah.
And so there are other buyers that are interested, but one of them actually being WWE.
Yes.
The problem is if Billy Corgan buys the company, he was on ESPN. He did an interview with them, and he has these great ideas of stuff that needed to happen. It's not going to be called TNA anymore. We're going to get rid of the name. He knows that it needs to be pushed the homegrown guys, because this roster is as strong as, you know, it's
huge right now. Yeah.
That
should have been the whole point.
Exactly. Yes. Like, you have guys.
AJ Styles, WWE champion now. Samoa Joe, NXT.
TJ Perkins.
Austin Aries, Bobby Roode. These guys, Eric Young is in NXT now.
Yep.
And is debuting soon.
Yes,
James
he
Storm is a free agent, from what I understand. Could possibly sign. Everything seems
to be that was a. So I kind of think he'll be the last person to show up in that gold gauntlet. He has all of these great plans, and it really kind of seems like he has a passion for it. Like, he actually cares. Whereas Dixie Carter was doing it because she wanted to have something.
And she was a fan of wrestling. She just wanted to be a part of the
show. And she clearly had no idea of what she was doing, because look at the state of TNA now.
Right.
The problem is that, you know, somewhere like WWE will 100% maybe scoop up some of the talent.
Yeah.
That Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Drew Galloway, they all got away.
Only to be pulled right back in.
So they might pull up.
As soon as Cody shows up again, here's the Stardust outfit.
They might pull them, some of them in, but they're going to go for the tape library.
Yeah.
For Hogan, Sting, Ric Flair, and early AJ Styles stuff now.
Samoa Joe. Because a lot of these guys that are in WWE now that a lot of people don't know from TNA.
You can actually say that Sting wrestled for 14 years. He wasn't just
at home.
Oh, no.
He wasn't just living on the moon.
Yeah, he had a whole career outside of
successful WCW, too.
But if you ask Michael Cole in that build up to WrestleMania,
he's been a vigilante.
One has seen him.
Well, he was performing acts of justice around the world in that time.
Was Batman Incorporated.
Yeah. Oh, I really don't want to see TNA get sold to WWE, even though I would love for them to have the tape library, because the network would only benefit from it.
Yeah.
But again, every time you lose a place to go wrestle, and, you know, you as a wrestler have to be thinking, because I'm sure Cape Championship Wrestling isn't where you want to be forever.
No.
You want to go higher and higher, and the more places that are open for you to go and expose yourself, like a better term.
You are a child.
So that has to be a sad story for you.
Anytime I hear about, the saddest thing for me was whenever TNA went to primetime, and I realized how very different the product immediately was from what it was. I'm like, so you do one thing to get here, and then once you're here, abandon what was working, what was creating this momentum for you, to give us the same shit we've already seen 100 million times.
Yep. Thanks, Hulk.
Except worse.
That's smart business.
Yeah, it was a bad, bad decision. And thankfully, they didn't stay on primetime long.
No.
They went back to Thursday quick.
I think I ask this every time it comes up, but do you remember the opening segment when they reignited the Monday Night Wars? WWE's answer to the first live TNA show?
Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Bret Hart for the first time in a WWE ring in like 20 years.
Since the screw job.
Yeah.
So yeah, they really shot them down pretty quick. But I don't want to see TNA gone. I hate when people say I hate TNA when it goes out of business.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So many jobs that would be lost. So many wrestlers who would be out of work. That would be hitting the independent circuit trying to find jobs. Never wish for people to lose their jobs. That's terrible.
Right. Yeah.
That's an awful thing. Again, sometimes wrestling fans are the worst things about wrestling.
And like, you know, you can point out that, yeah, it was mismanaged. Like, that's just empirical fact now.
Right.
But yeah, there's no reason to, I can understand like wanting to deeply care about a product and then being disappointed in it, but you can't just.
WWE that, was that mismanaged there for a while.
And that blind hatred that people still have, because a lot of people still equate TNA now with the Hogan era.
Yeah.
Of, oh no, they're doing everything wrong. And it's like, they're really not. Like, if you would have told me Lashley was going to be as entertaining of a champion as he's proved to be, I wouldn't have believed you.
Right.
But it's like, that's why I still try to keep up with it because it's proving me wrong constantly.
Right.
And I think what bums me out the most is like knowing what NWA TNA was.
Yeah.
And so many people have no idea and will never really know what they're missing. Like that product came, what we have now came from something really great.
Yeah. Legendary.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, that's, there's your Cinderella story. Like you don't see that often. This company that come from nothing with a bunch of guys that nobody really knew, the exception of select few here and there, come up out of nowhere to a point where guys like the WWE are going, the hell is this little thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're rocking the boat big enough that the WWE is paying attention. That's a big deal. And then you go and you screw it up. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I think changing the name would be good if Corgan does get it. Let TNA die. Rebrand it something.
Yeah. Cause I think the plan would more than likely just to be, it would just be Impact Wrestling, which is what they tried to rebrand it, but it still kept the TNA Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
The only reason I don't like TNA is because I know what it stood for originally.
Yeah. The Total Nonstop Action.
And I just think that's a terrible name for, because I'm an old school wrestling fan.
Well, it's total nonstop action, but you're absolutely supposed to think of the TNA.
The boobs.
Yeah.
I like legitimate, like, I like when wrestling's portrayed as kind of a realistic sport. Thing. That's why I like Ring of Honor so much and those kind of things. So when I heard TNA, Total Nonstop Action, I don't know, I just never liked it. I preferred the NWA side of things, right. The legacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Total Nonstop Action wasn't bad as an add-on tag.
To NWA.
Yeah.
Because then it made sense. It was NWA's Total Nonstop Action.
Yeah.
When it just became TNA, it's like, that's not really a wrestling league. That's the name of a show.
Right.
And now it's TNA Impact. Cross the line. You cross the line. Yeah. All right. What's that, Allie?
You're throwing away the paper.
That's the script out the window.
The hard work.
An hour into the show.
You know.
Yeah, we went a little long. Thankfully, we own the network. Show.
Yeah, thankfully, yeah.
It's what we always say.
We have the champ. Right. You're not going to shortchange the champ.
No, absolutely not. Okay, so now that that's out of the way, let's talk about something near and dear to our hearts. Last Saturday, at the Osage Arena of CW, Best of the Best, was a fantastic show. And first off, before anything, I want to say thanks to Ken Murphy, Jason Wells, and Lee Montgomery. Showed us nothing but love, showed us nothing but kindness.
The fact that Ken even gave us just that brief little shout out, like while he was talking, was that got me.
Yeah,
like, I was like, oh man, that's.
I don't know how that feels to other people, like when it's like, hey, thanks for, you know, helping out. But to us, we were beaming with pride. So much pride that we were involved with CCW in some way, that they were even acknowledging us. We were so happy about that. And it was a fantastic show. You guys always put on a good show. Each and every match on that card was amazing.
Yep.
It was heart-stopping. The interactions was incredible. Brandon, you yourself, again, you give the devil his due, put on a fantastic show. Your match with Austin Lane was brutal, and we had so much fun at the show. I can't say enough good things about it. And I think anyone that likes wrestling needs to go to the next Cape Championship Wrestling show, which is Dalton.
October 29th.
October 29th.
Are you paying attention?
Wow.
Well, I was just like, how am I? It's October 29th.
I saw him dropping the ball. I was like, no. I know this one.
Gotta pick that ball up. it was a lot of fun, even though we went there to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
We went there to have fun and cheer and chant. And I guess we made ourselves a little well known to some of these guys because before you came over there and got in my face, Billy Hills got in my face, and Billy Hills was mean.
He was.
Billy Hills
was awesome.
Was angry with me, and the fact that I'm stuck behind that barricade, quote unquote, was heartbreaking because I just wanted to slap the spittoon out of his mouth. Spittoon?
Spittoon's what you spit into. The
that's the can.
That's the can. Yeah. All right. The skull. What does he do? What does he chew? Ham?
That may be one of the many things.
It's the mystery tobacco.
To be frank, I don't know if the guy chews tobacco at all.
It's just food.
When you look like that, you probably do. Shannon looked at me like I just kicked a puppy. Is I like, oh, so that's too far.
Oh my god!
I was yelling mean stuff at them the whole time.
Oh yeah,
we all were. It was such a good show. I mean, it was so much fun. What's it like being backstage at that, getting ready for your matches, and just what's that feeling of going out there and seeing that crowd? I know they don't like you, and I don't blame them, but you
some of them do. Some of them like me.
There's always one guy out there that's chanting.
Remember
for
what
you
were saying about you pack 300 people?
There's always one idiot.
Yeah. Hey, Shannon, right. How many fans does barbed wire have?
Yeah, one.
I've got, there's at least five. I've counted.
Five?
Right. Just give me a little bit of credit.
Your match especially, because again, top to bottom, it was a good show. Espinoza versus Ace Hawkins. We gave Ace Hawkins so much crap at the show, but dude was legit. It was a great match.
Ace is good.
Ace is great, and Espinoza is always good. I was sad that Dirty Jake Durden wasn't there. He was a great part of the last show we were at. You probably were okay with that.
Well, yeah, I hit him in the face with a belt twice. So the fact that he wasn't there didn't exactly break my heart.
I kind of expected him to be here, just outside staring in the window at you.
I wouldn't be.
The creepy Today Show.
Yeah.
I had made a comment on Facebook, or maybe it was in probably one of my videos, one of my hour-long videos that I do. But I had mentioned Jake and how, he's here for the moment. He's gone. He's probably never coming back. He doesn't really care about CCW or the fans here in Cape. For him, it's a paycheck. This is my home. So it's different for me. I'm from here. Mm-hmm. I live, 8 miles north of Cape Girardeau city limits. So for me, this is my home, like it or not. We are connected in some way. Jake Durden's not connected to any of you guys and in any way. This is a paycheck for him. I would be surprised if he ever comes back. And I said that. And then Hunter commented, I wouldn't be so sure about that Jake Durden not coming back thing. So I am guessing that your buddy hashtag Hobbit Height is still in communication with Jake and is still plotting something.
Can you communicate with Jake?
I was going to say, does he have to just mail like a...
I mentioned he likes send squirrels out to the
notes. That is what I said. Yeah. I had said that to your buddy Hunter, and I was like, I don't know that he can even formulate thoughts or words. I've never really heard him speak other than, I'm going to kill you.
Which, by the way, you're welcome. That was us. I gave him that idea.
He failed.
So Cape is your... This is your hood. Yeah. This is your city. You're like the stalwart knight to protect it, and you're just misunderstood.
I believe I'm misunderstood.
So how does it feel to know that a guy like Austin Lane, who is not from Cape Girardeau, is coming in and causing you so much problems? At the show, he beat you to become the number one contender to that title that you're holding. In a brutal match, by the way, some of those shots, Asa.
Well, that was one of the things, because before we knew you were coming on, because we clearly knew we were going to talk about it, and I was just like, man, it was just like the sound and the straight headshots. Yeah. It was just like that made me a little itchy to see, because it's like it's one of those things where it's like as a fan, that's not my preferred style. Like, you guys did a great job with it, and it was brutal, but it's just one of those things where it's like, oh man, we've seen what happens in the long term, when continued stuff like that, like one off. Okay, but it's just one of those things. And then it was one of those times where I realized oh no, this is just because it's like we've actually genuinely kind of formed a bit of a relationship with both you and Austin and all those CCW guys. So it's just like precious cargo, man.
it's not even his fault, because Austin Lane and Hunter Hendricks brought in Psycho.
Yeah.
And when you bring in a guy like Psycho
and Baby
Psycho, when you bring those guys in, you're going to expect to get your hands dirty and get a little violent. Were you expecting that level of violence when you went against Austin Lane, who, by the way, is the number one contender to that title around your waist?
Okay, so here's the thing. I never asked for the no DQ match. That was not a stipulation that I set up. Mm-hmm. That was Austin's idea. When Austin submitted this idea to my wonderful general manager, it was his idea to make it a no DQ. So he asked to get his brain scrambles. And, that's not really my fault. However, I feel like me losing that match against Austin wasn't because of Austin Lane. I don't feel like Austin Lane beat Brandon Barbwire. I feel like Brandon Barbwire beat Brandon Barbwire, because there was a point, and you guys were there, I was beating this man so mercilessly with a chair that I actually developed a conscience.
You did. You stopped beating
him. I begged this man to stay down.
His heart grew 3 sizes that day.
I told him, I said, think about your daughters and stay down. And what did that idiot do? He flipped me off.
Again, want to point out that that's when we started chanting, get back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was either you or Jeff O'Dell that said, okay, get back up. Yeah.
Here's the thing, too. He started to get up. And he dropped. He dropped. I watched him drop. I had the chair ready. He started to get up, and he dropped. And I said, there. And then you guys started chanting, get back up. And that idiot heard you, right? And he's like, oh, well, I got to do what the fans want. He starts climbing back to his feet, right? So he's pulling himself up on the ropes. And I'm still yelling at him. I'm like, do not make me end your career. Because that's the last thing I wanted to do. I'm here to be a champion. I'm here to maintain my spot. I'm not here to destroy somebody. I don't want to have to do it, but I will if I have to. And then he gives me the finger. So I blasted his head off with that damn chair.
You guys blasted each other's heads a couple times.
Yeah.
I won't lie. He rung my bell more than once. After I hit him with that chair and he kicked out, all I could think was, why the hell is this guy still kicking out? Like, how?
And you regretted showing mercy.
Yeah, very much so. Because had I stayed on that, had I not been busy telling him and warning him and asking him to please stay down and not force my hand, that match would have already been over. I had the upper hand. I was pummeling him. There was no coming back from that. Had I stayed on that, had I beat him to the point of motionlessness, that match would have been over. And there wouldn't have been a number one contender for me. But I got a big heart.
I find that to be a problem and too hard to believe, but that's not the point. So what about the next match? October 29th, for your title, where's the mercy at in this one?
Apparently, I can't afford to have any, because that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. I don't feel like Austin Lane was the guy that beat Brandon Barbar. I feel like I beat myself because I allowed myself to be merciful towards somebody. That's a mistake I'm not going to repeat. The only thing is, I don't really know what the stipulation on this match is. It hasn't really been clarified to me what I can and can't do to Austin. I don't know if it's a singles match. I don't know if it's a ladder match. I don't know if it's a tables match. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Double H hasn't told us anything.
Yeah, I don't think that's been released yet.
He's probably busy not doing his job.
Well, because the two matches that we know for sure is the championship match, of course, and then Jason Vaughn versus Farmer Billy.
Which, by the way, tell Billy that we're going to get a nice, we haven't decided what yet. We're going to get a nice object, and we're all going to sign it, and we're going to give that to Jason Vaughn to knock his face off.
Whenever Hunter announced that it was the fans bring the weapons match, that terrified me.
Yeah,
because you have certain audience members who
don't be jelly of them.
who are going to come in, but so the
one guy that brings an axe.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But the way that apparently this goes is as you enter in, there will be two bins, one for Farmer, one for Fury. Everyone drops off their weapon initially, and then the representative for the athletic commission will then decide what could actually
be
used. So it's not like, because whenever he made that announcement, I'm thinking like ECW people throwing in chairs into the ring.
Like we're all going to be in the front row because we'll be in the front row. We're all going to be in the front row holding chairs with spikes through it and stuff like that.
Yeah, like that someone's going to bring something stupid in.
Which, by the way, now you came over, you said hi to us during the show, and we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You could have said it in a nicer way, but you know, at least you came over and said hello.
I acknowledged your existence. I felt like that's good enough. It's more than I do for most.
That's more than God does for us. anyway,
you just lost every Christian listener.
That's not new. It's just that they're just like, well, let's give it another try.
No, every week they do that.
Like, there's one kid that's like, I really want to love Jesus,
but Mr. 100 makes it so hard.
But Mr. 100 is tempting me. Good call, man.
Thank you. man, when you came and said hello to us, and we said hello back, we tried to return it in kind. There was a moment as you walked next to us when Hunter's wife threw water in your face. Shocked, like even we were shocked.
Yeah.
You looked more shocked than anybody. Is it getting personal? How personal is it between you and Hunter Hendricks where his wife is throwing water in your face at this point?
I didn't realize.
We're trying to be objective, by the way. Hunter is our friend, but we are also journalists. We pride ourselves on being journalists, so I want to be objective. What would that feel like? Where is it between you guys?
Hunter and I are not on good terms.
I feel
like Hunter has gone out of his way to cause issue with me. Even lying in the beginning, he said that I actually cheated in the beginning to get my title. You guys were there. I never cheated. I never broke a rule.
Oh, yeah.
I just beat the crap out of somebody you like, and I'm so sorry that I broke your heart. But that's just the way it is. That's the business. Sometimes.
He's telling the truth. I was there, and if I remember correctly, Billy Hills was going to hit you with a weapon.
Billy was going to cheat.
He was going to cheat to
and
beat
good
you.
Good for him, because you do what you got to do. Win by any means necessary. Unfortunately, it wasn't necessary for me to cheat to beat Billy. I had it well in hand.
Dalton.
But it was necessary for you to cheat Durden.
Oh.
That belt that you hit him with?
The reason that you weren't sad that...
But let me defend here. I never said there was anything wrong with cheating, did I?
No, you were just building pride on not having to cheat. But you just said, like...
I'm not building pride on having to cheat. I'm proving that your friend is a liar. He said that I cheated to win my title in the first place, and I never did. Did I cheat to retain my title? Absolutely. I will do it time and time again, as long as it's getting me my paycheck. The same paycheck that a heavyweight champion gets, which, by the way, is a lot more than everybody else on the roster.
Now, do you have any kind of... I have to assume, because, like I said, I wasn't at that first show, but from all accounts, it seemed kind of personal for a bit between you and Billy. Now, do you have any kind of fear that one day Billy's going to...
Because Billy tried to clean your clock in that match.
I can explain that. There was this ongoing thought that Pinnacle had gotten together and said, okay, well, Brandon's going to be the guy. That's not how it went down. We all got together, and every single one of us said, I'm going to be the guy. Because that's just the way it is. And so we said, all right, well, fine. We'll do whatever we have to do, and whoever wins will be the guy. So we all went in there knowing that whoever went it came out of that tournament, the winner was going to be the heavyweight champion. It could have been Billy. It could have been Sarge. There was animosity there because I'm the crown jewel of the Pinnacle, not Billy Hills.
Speaking of Sarge, a friend of mine, I love Sarge, sexy Sarge. Allie will tell you that Sarge was the reason I came back to the second show because I loved him so much and he was so personal. What is the deal?
You mean he's a kiss ass?
Fan and friend of Sexy Sarge.
Semantics, right?
When Jeff O'Dell cheated Sarge and kicked him out of Pinnacle for drop dead Dale Wilde, who we all pray lives up to his name soon.
And that was probably one of my favorite moments in the opening when Jeff O'Dell made the announcement that drop dead was not going to be at the show.
And we cheered.
So he made the announcement again because he got interrupted and we cheered again. And then the one more time chant.
It's one of the few times Odell smiled, and we knew that we had touched him. But you kicked Sarge out. What is your relationship with Sarge? Did you want Sarge gone?
I didn't have anything to do with it, with Sarge personally. Just before he got kicked out, I had said to someone on Facebook, of course, because that's where I do most of my communicating.
A lot.
Yeah, I do a lot of my communication via Facebook, but I was having a conversation about how much I respected the fact that even at his age, he's still able to go out there and keep up, you know, and he has a way of, even if he's the biggest tool in the room, he has your attention.
In more ways than one.
You know what I mean?
We've seen that G-string.
I've stuffed money in it.
You have. It bought me that shirt.
That's dirty money, man. That's syphilitic money.
Again, really impressed Sarah knew that many syllables in a row. Billy Hills' wife.
Her Pacific.
I thought that was his sister.
Same thing.
You guys are rough. Which is funny because Austin Lane is from Arkansas, the most insexual, state in the union, and yet he doesn't get anything.
I've seen Austin Lane's wife. I can't criticize the man. If that was my sister, no.
But the thing of it is, Austin Lane and his wife don't look like they came from the same family tree.
Look, Billy's my buddy. I'm not going to go into that. And Sarah's...
Even you.
She's sweet in a, I don't know, Medusa kind of way.
Oh. Like, which, by the way, she got herself involved with Little Bit now.
Yeah.
So can we look forward to that?
And seemingly Diamond Doll, because Diamond Doll didn't seem to really appreciate Sarah coming in the middle of that.
Here's the thing. Like I said, he's my buddy. We've put all of our crap on the back burner, or at least I have. I could care less if he dislikes me. I'm going to love him anyway. It's fun for me at this point. If every time I say I want to hug him, he gets pissed off, I'm fine with that. his wife, she's a handful. I mean, and that you see that in the back, like the whole time, like she's
on Facebook. She was the one telling him he couldn't get that Technodrome.
Oh yeah,
she was very much against that.
We see who wears the pants in that family.
Right. Well, she's, I don't know how well she'll fare as far as, being able to work a match. I've never actually seen her work a match.
Well, here's my question.
But that doesn't mean that she can't.
Well, and that
just because I haven't seen it.
And that's why I was so surprised when she got into the ring, because I didn't know, because again, this is really like, this is now my second show, at the CCW, and I'm like, this is my first exposure to all of you guys. So I didn't know, like, I just kind of assumed that she was a manager. She was valet for Billy. So when she got in the ring with Lil Bit, I was like, oh, I legitimately didn't know that she was a wrestler. That's awesome.
Well, what I've heard, apparently she does work.
Okay.
But I have never seen it myself.
Okay.
And I know Lil Bit is very talented.
Yes.
And I assume that Sarah is probably just as talented as her husband, because I assume that a lot of her influence would come from him. And like I said, this is a guy that, I'm not used to being grounded and held.
Right.
And he diffused me for a little while. Like, there was a minute where I was on the mat, like, trying to get his hands apart, cussing, like, get off me.
I agree with you on that, because if I remember correctly, Billy and Sarah come from the same genes. So it would make sense that they're both, you know, cut from the same cloth. Now here's my question to you about a little bit, because we know a little bit's tough. She put on some hellacious matches there with Diamond Doll. And if that's what's going to happen at the next show, which one of the Pinnacle is going to come out and cheat and hit a woman to help her win? I assume it will be Dale Wilde, since he's the most feminine, but I don't think you guys can win a match without cheating. So I'm curious of who's going to take that hit.
Yeah, but you've never seen any of us hit a woman yet either. I mean,
well, no, but I'm just saying the cheating.
Emphasis on yet.
I mean,
well, that was the word. That was your word.
I can't speak for my buddy Billy. I don't know how that's going to go.
Oh, I don't like
this
game.
That's his wife. I mean,
yeah.
What do you want him to do?
Marry outside the family.
Stop it.
This is getting bad.
Oh, we're going to have a guest next week.
Oh,
and it's going to be the.
It's not going to be by invite.
Yeah, he's going to show up.
And it's not going to be on the show.
No, I tried, man.
Brandon's just going to be like, so what's the address here again?
If Billy can wash the blood, Jason Vaughn's blood off his truck and get here in time, he can get that going. All right.
That's the most astonishing thing to me, by the way. Like,
what's that?
Like, he hits Jason Vaughn with a truck, and Jason's response is like, well, it's okay. I'll see you in the ring, man.
Consummate professional. Consummate professional is what I feel like.
I feel like it's just he's being absurd. I mean, honest to God, just step away. Leave. You got hit by a truck.
You're clearly not welcome here.
You're clearly not well. You got hit by a truck. All right, Brandon, we got to get out of here in a few minutes. Before we do, though, and by the way, it was a pleasure having you on. Despite all all of the bad blood, it was truly a pleasure to have you on here to talk about wrestling with us. But before we do, October 29th, you're going to go head-to-head with Austin Lane for that title. I know Austin's listening, because Austin's a big fan of the show. So what do you have to say to Austin personally before we get out of here? And no, he may be on in the future, and he may respond in kind. So what do you have to say to Austin?
You know, I don't really feel like I have a whole lot to really say to him directly that he hasn't already heard. I have to call him, from rope to rope, pillar to post, the best of the best, Austin Lane. And I'm not joking when I say to you that every time that I have to spill that whole thing out, I become nauseated. And it's getting worse each time. There's going to be dry heaves soon. I have no doubt that I'm going to make the most horrendous faces on Facebook, trying not to vomit, spitting that out. But no matter how good he is, no matter if he won this match, I have learned new things about Austin. In my time in the ring with him at this last show, I found out that Austin Lane can take a hell of a beating.
Amen.
And I also learned that the next time that Austin Lane is taking a hell of a beating from me, I'm not going to stop. So Austin might want to consider the fact that I'm not going to be so nice next time. Maybe the next time, whenever I drag his lazy ass out from the second rope on the floor and give him that neck breaker, maybe I'll throw his ass up and do it again. Maybe I'll do it through a table. Maybe I'll hit him with the belt 6 or 7 times. Maybe I will bash his head till a puddle of mush with a chair if I have to retain my CCW heavyweight title. Because make no mistake about it, I am the CCW heavyweight champion. And there's not a damn thing Austin Lane will ever be able to do about that.